Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
I want to pray into something this morning. So just close your eyes just for a second. I want to pray something. Because I feel like God wants to strengthen our trust this morning. I see him strengthening our trust. We have things that God has promised us that we see in Scripture, things that God has promised us personally, and yet those chasms in between the things happening and the current reality is often really challenging. And what's challenging is, and what's challenged often is our trust in those things, our trust in him as a faithful God who will fulfill everything he said he would fulfill. And I feel like this morning God wants to strengthen our trust. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that there would be an impartation of strength today for our trust in Jesus' name. Trust with our family, our relationships, our marriages, our kids, our futures, our careers, our jobs. Whatever it is that we put our hand to in this season, that we trust you with the outcome. We trust you with the outcome in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah was a very interesting prophet. Isaiah lived in a time and operated in a time in his ministry in a very, very hard time for Israel. You know, the time that we read the book of Isaiah, in that time frame, we know that the exiled Israel was exiled into Babylon, and there was no hope of returning to a rebuilt Jerusalem. There was no hope to returning to a rebuilt temple. And so Isaiah was in that time. Isaiah was an interesting prophet because although he gave hope, he also prophesied a lot of judgment because of the disobedience of the people. Isaiah was an interesting prophet. Isaiah actually, you know, hung around naked for several years as a prophetic picture and illustration to what was happening to Israel. I mean, if you read the prophets, I mean, they did some crazy things. They did some crazy things. And, you know, just because Isaiah did it doesn't mean you have to do it. But Isaiah was in an interesting time. And during Isaiah's lifetime, like I said, the nation of Israel suffered distress politically, and they lived in a state of oppression from the Assyrian culture for so long. So imagine yourself, like you've been oppressed by something. Maybe you're oppressed in your job right now. Maybe you'll feel oppressed in your family. Maybe you feel oppressed in a relationship. You've lived oppressed for a long time. When you've lived oppressed for a long time, it's hard to have hope, right? It's hard to think there's light on the other side. If you've had no job, if you've had struggle in an area of your life and no freedom, an addiction, whatever, if you've had a struggle for a long time, it's hard to see hope on the other side, right? It's like an oppression that just walks with you and lingers constantly. There's patterns that maybe you haven't broken from a previous generation, from your family line that's haunted you, that's haunting you right now, and you feel like, man, am I ever going to break that pattern? Maybe it's alcoholism. Maybe it's some other addiction. Maybe it's some sort of family pattern that's trying to rear its ugly head and repeat itself in you. And you think, how can I make it through? I mean, they didn't do it. They didn't make it through. They didn't break through. How can I make it through? Well, there's hope on the other side. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And I want to read out of Isaiah chapter 40. Now, this is one of the most, and the passage that I'm going to read from is a passage you've heard before. You probably have a bookmark in your Bible. If you're old school here, how many people still bring Bibles to churches? One person. Okay, we got a problem. Let's take out all the scriptures off the screen so you bring your Bibles back to church. Listen, most people have this on a bookmark. It's Isaiah chapter 40. You know, the scripture about mounting up on eagle's wings. Most people have that as a bookmark, but they really have no idea what it even really means. They have no idea the value and the core revelation that sits within that passage. And we're going to dive into that this morning. But before I do, I got to say this, because it's an amazing thing. And it's that today, my wife and I celebrate our 17-year anniversary. I love you as my wife, as my partner, as my friend, as my teammate, as my co-everything. I'm so thankful for you. And we've made it through some statistical data, you know, because people get divorced, right? 5 years, 2 years, 15 years, 10 years, people get divorced at those junctures of time. And we're making it, and we're in love. And I'm so thankful for you and that you've stood by me in all these years when I'm stupid and I do stupid things. And I'm not the husband I should be at times. You're just an amazing rock, and you're an amazing mom, and I love you so much. Happy 17. It's a big deal, guys, 17. I mean, I know some of you veterans out there, you've been like 30, 40. 17's a big deal. More babies. No, we cancel that in Jesus' name. No, we're good. Four is good. Four no more. I know you're still multiplying, but yeah, you're a different breed of woman, so. It's still possible, technically. It's still technically possible. Sorry for the illustration. It's technically possible, but anyways, we'll just trust God with that one. Anyways, Isaiah chapter 40, let's go there. Isaiah chapter 40, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. This is what you need to hear when you're discouraged, when you're hopeless, when there's no light at the end of the tunnel. The reminder that, do you not know, like, who created your whole life? Do you not know who is the everlasting God? Do you not know who I am? In the midst of your hopelessness, in the midst of your failures, discouragement, do you not know your oppression? Do you not know who I am? Like, I'm the one who brought this thing to you. I'm the one who brought you to this thing. Can I not bring you through it? Can I not bring victory within it? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. Remember who made it all. I'm reminding you today who made it all. So if you're in this little challenge right now that you think is massive, remember, I'm the one who created everything. Puts things into perspective. You're a little locust, or you're a little ant, and I am the locust, right? Remember how small you really are in comparison to everything that I am. He never grows weak. Who? God. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak. The word weak literally means somebody who is totally exhausted from exertion, like just totally done. He gives power to those that are totally done. You feel done, you feel maybe burnt out, you want to quit, you want to end whatever season you're in, you're just done. You're done at your job, you're done in your family, you're done in your marriage, you're done in some sort of relationship, you're just done in life. Maybe you're just so disappointed in God because he's not done the things that you wanted him to do in the timeline you wanted him to do them in, and you're just done. Remind yourself of this, that even if you feel done, God is still near and can give you strength when you feel you're done, can give you strength when you feel that you're weak. Then he says this in verse 29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless, verse 30, even youths. So even the people that should have all the energy, this is the context, even the people that have all the energy, all the testosterone, all that they need to live life will become weak and tired. And young men will also fall in exhaustion. The people that you think should not be falling and failing will fail. That's the premise. You hearing what I'm saying? The people that you look up to, and I'm just going to illustrate this for a second. The people that you look up to and think will never fail, they're perfect, they're flawless, which I'm sure all of you realize that nobody is perfect and flawless. But even those that you look up to will have weak moments and fail and make stupid decisions. Even youths, even young men will fall in exhaustions. Verse 31. But those, listen to this. This is the verse that you all read and we post it. It's like the Christianese verse that's posted everywhere constantly. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. I was praying for trust this morning. God, help us to trust you. Impart strength to trust you. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They'll go high. What does it mean to go high? Get a different sight, different perspective. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I want to talk today. Write this down. I want you to remember this, okay? This is very important. You remember this. I want to talk today about developing strands of faith. Everyone say strands. There are strands to our faith, okay? And I'm likening this to a rope. Anybody ever held a rope before? Anybody ever held a string before? Would you feel comfortable wrapping a string around a branch and climbing the string? No. Who said yes? A rope. You need a rope. A string will break. It will not hold you up. A rope is made up of many strands, right? Many strands make up a rope twisted and woven together. And as they stretch, it gets stronger to bear the load that it's supposed to carry. This is what we are called to develop in our faith journey, is to develop strands of faith. My faith right now is way stronger than it was 20 years ago. I've developed strands. I've added strands to my rope over the years. What I can bear under now, the load that I can carry now in faith is a lot bigger than the load I could carry 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Because along the journey, I develop strands to my rope to hold more. I have more faith. My grace in faith is larger. Unfortunately, for some believers, it's really unfortunate. They've been going to church for like 30, 40 years, and their faith is like baby's faith. They're still drinking the milk. They're not eating the steak. They're still drinking the milk. They've not advanced. They've not matured because they've never been discipled. They've just attended church. They've been an observer, not an absorber. Two different things. You can observe all you want, and you can go to church, and you can watch, but until you absorb, until the soil absorbs the water, the seed can't grow. You can watch the water fall on someone else's soil, but until you become the soil that's absorbing the water and absorbing the nutrients that it needs, the seed can't grow. We want to grow. We're called to grow. Everyone in this room is called to grow. Hopefully, you're bigger and better than you were 20 years ago in the Spirit if you've been walking with Jesus for 20 years. Hopefully, in the last 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, if you've been walking with Jesus, you're bigger and better than you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Now, I know we ebb and flow. I know that there's going to be struggles. There's going to be times where we go up and we go down. But, man, there's something that God wants to remind us today, and that's as we walk with him, we develop stronger faith so that we can have a hope during hard times. The hope that I can have during a hard time right now, which is based upon perseverance, is a direct result of the faith that I have right now. And I'm going to get into that in a second. So the more strands, the tighter the strands, the stronger the rope. In other words, stronger rope equals stronger hope. Write that down. When your rope is stronger, because your faith is constantly being developed and stretched, and you're constantly walking in faith with him, stronger rope will always equal stronger hope. And what makes rope is faith. What makes the rope and gives it its strength is faith. Now, I've said it this way before in the past. I've said this before. And write this down. Faith takes us into the room, but it's hope that keeps us there. Two different things. Faith and hope are not the same thing. Faith will take you into a place. Hope will keep you there. We walk by faith. So God says, I want you to step out and do this business thing, or I want you to step out and buy this house, or I want you to step out and do this thing. And now you're in the room. You've done the thing. You're in stage one. And now everything's crashing around you and burning around you. At that point, you don't necessarily need faith to stay in the room. You got faith, got you in the room. You need hope to stay in the room. The hope says that I am going to continue standing in patience and in perseverance because of what faith drew me into. You hear what I'm saying? You were saved by grace through what? Faith. So faith brought you into relationship. Now you need the hope to continue, a hope for a better future, a hope for a better day, which is perseverance manifested every day of your life when things are hard and make no sense. So faith says, I want you to invest this large amount of money in this thing. And then that thing falls apart. Now you have to have hope that, hey, my faith in the end wasn't the thing, it was in God's word. Because if my faith was tied up into the thing, when the thing falls apart, my faith falls apart. But if my faith is tied into the one who told me to do the thing, when the thing falls apart, it's hope that I need to stay and trust God. And when we stay and trust God in hope in the room, those strands get tighter and they get stronger. And they allow the load that you're carrying, the burden that you're carrying, to be carried throughout into the next season so you can graduate. Are you hearing this morning? Faith takes us into the room, but it's hope that keeps us there. Let me just read this to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. Say this, substance. Faith is a substance, okay? Faith, think of it like, first let me define faith. Faith is not getting up and by faith I choose to brush my teeth in the morning. It doesn't take faith to brush my teeth in the morning, right? Do you step out in faith to get up in the morning and go to the bathroom? No, you just do it. There's no faith involved in that, okay? And so faith is, biblical faith is not a choice that you make. I just choose to be in faith. No, biblical faith comes from a word in the Greek called pistis. Everyone say pistis. And it actually could be defined as God's divine persuasion. You're so persuaded that he's so good and that his promises are yes and amen and he's faithful to fulfill his word. He's so faithful that whatever he's told you to do, you are persuaded that he will do it. And so it moves you to do the thing. That's what real Bible faith is. It's not I just make a choice one day because, man, I can just do that. I'm just like, well, I'm just going to choose to believe God for a Rolls Royce and I'm going to sit here on my driveway until somebody drives up the Rolls Royce. Anybody want to comment on that? You think that's going to work? Now, if God inspires me and he persuades me that, hey, I'm driving, you know, the Queen tonight. I'm in England and I'm driving the Queen to some sort of famous party. I know she's dead, but I'm driving the Queen. And God says, I need you to stand on your driveway because the Rolls Royce is going to pull up and you're going to take the Queen. And there's a reason. There's a motivation. Well, God can do that. I'm not painting the fact that God can't do those things. But I'm persuaded that he'll do it, and so I stand in faith and hope that he will do those things. Very different than making a choice one day because I have a desire. I want a Rolls Royce, so I'm just going to stand here and hope one just gets dropped off in my house. Now, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? No, only one person thinks it's awesome. I wouldn't be arguing if somebody dropped off a Rolls Royce in my house. And so it's a very different thing. Choice and faith are a very different thing. Faith, pistis, is the substance. Everyone say substance again. We need to get this. Substance literally means, it comes from the word hypostasis in the Greek, and it literally means to stand under an umbrella of God's promises. It's like God's, stand under his warranty plan. And I've taught on this before. I actually have a whole book that I've 70% finished, that I haven't finished yet, on this topic. But faith, okay, motivates and drives us to stand under God's promise and warranty plan like an umbrella. Like an umbrella will protect you and shield you from the environment, right? It's a promise of protection, right? When you bring an umbrella outside in the rain, it's a promise of protection. The rain's not going to touch you, right? The elements won't touch you, correct? Well, when you are in faith, faith is that standing under of the umbrella that protects you from the elements to warranty God's promise over your life. Anybody buy warranties in here ever? You know, actually, I'm thankful. I've bought a lot of warranties, and I've used a lot of warranties. Ask my wife. I feel like my life is on the phone with companies trying to redeem a warranty for something broken. I feel like I'm always doing that. But I'm thankful for warranties. Warranties are like the protection plan. Well, faith is like the warranty plan, okay? So hear me. Hear me. Understand this. Faith is the substance of things now what? So I'm persuaded by God. Because I'm persuaded by God, it's like standing under an umbrella of protection. I'm persuaded by God that I'm protected, that his promises are yes. And that persuasion is literally the stepping stone to things that are hoped for, which then is the stepping stone to things or the evidence of things not seen. So when faith comes into a room, it ignites hope again. I just got a testimony last night from, I was speaking somewhere in May, and I had a word of knowledge that God was going to heal a barrenness in the room. And a bunch of women stood up, and one of the women, she was 41. She's the sister-in-law of the pastor. She had been trying to get pregnant for a very, very, very long time, 41 years old, and was really discouraged, never had any kids. And all of a sudden, her stomach started, is what she said, started to, like, vibrate violently on the inside. She had to go, and then she said she had to go to the bathroom because she didn't know what was going on. She went to the bathroom, and she bled out. A really weird manifestation, and it wasn't her menstrual cycle. She bled out, and it was done. And so I said to the pastor, I'm like, I think she got healed. So whatever was stopping her from getting pregnant, she got healed from right there. Something happened. It's a weird manifestation. I got the testimony last night, and now she's pregnant. And so you see, in those moments, I had faith for what God said, that he was going to heal barrenness. It ignited hope in her because she had lost hope. Something happened on the inside of her, and now the manifestation of the evidence of things not seen. Things were not seen. The pregnancy was not seen. Now she's pregnant. This is how it works. This is how faith works, you guys. Are you with me? But to have hope, we have to have perseverance. Perseverance really is like the starting point of hope. If we don't have perseverance to stay in the room, we don't have hope. We can't keep hope alive. Perseverance. How many know what perseverance is? It's a hard thing to manifest when you're going through a hard time. Right? It's why marriages break up. It's why relationships fall out. It's why business deals go sour. People don't persevere. It gets hard. It's easier to quit than it is to persevere. The hardest thing to do is to persevere when you don't want to persevere. The easiest thing to do is to quit when things are hard. But what you need in those moments is perseverance, which ignites hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Perseverance sets us up for hope. Now, I want to fast forward. Now, once again, back to faith for a second. Back to faith. I mean, Paul even said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and what? Love. Very important attributes of the kingdom. Faith, hope, and love. In fact, I would suggest to you that unless you have perseverance, you do not have love. First Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, you can read about it. I mean, love always hopes. Love believes the best. Love is perseverant in nature. Love is unconditional. Unless you have perseverance. I mean, people want to only commit to relationships and things when all of the ducks are in a row and all the outcomes are to their liking. That's not love. That's not sacrificial. That's conditional love. I'll love on these conditions. And trust is a fruit of love. So if you don't love, you don't trust. If you don't trust, you're not in love. It's a part of love. So back to faith that energizes our hope, developing these three strands of faith. And I'm building something here, okay? Track with me, okay? I'm teaching today a little bit, okay? I'm teaching, so write this down. Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon gives us an instruction on what it looks like to build these strands of faith a little bit, okay? Solomon, and I'm going to add to this in a second, but track with me here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, scripture you probably all know. Trust and rely, this is out of the Amplified Version, and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all of your ways, the word is seasons, journeys of life. In every journey of life, every transition, every hard moment, and every journey, every path you find yourself on in life, trust and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. So what's the result of trust in this passage? Do you see it? Look at it. What's the result? The result is that the things that block you will no longer block you. The result of trust, so this is why it's so important to trust. Even if someone's good, I would rather trust and get betrayed than one and then hold my trust for fear of betrayal. That's a prison to live in. It's not also that isn't an expression of love. Jesus trusted and actually appointed, remember, a betrayer on purpose. It was part of his destiny. Betrayal is a part of your destiny. You can't escape it. I would rather trust and live in freedom and get betrayed and deal with the outcomes than for fear of being betrayed, never trust anybody. Now, there's wisdom and balance in all of that. I get it. Going into relationships with certain people and business deals, I get all that. There's elements of discernment, okay, in that. But in this passage here, he's giving us the outcome of trusting in him. I will remove every obstacle, every hurdle, if you trust me. But trust looks like acknowledging me in every season of life. Now, that word acknowledge is the word yada in the Hebrew, which means to make God an experience through sight in your life in every season of your life. So to put God center and make the experience of God the priority in every season of life, when it's hard or whether it's good, when you do that, that is the result of trust. And the result of trust ultimately is the result of God removing the things that keep you bound and held back. He makes things smooth. So there's power in trust. And the word trust here literally means in the Hebrew, if you break it down, to trust quickly. Trust quickly. And I would venture to say this, is that if we would learn to trust quickly, we will develop stronger ropes in our life to hold the load that we're called to hold. We trust too slow in our relationship with God at times. He says a word, he gives us a thing, and we trust too slow. And it's like we hold back the strength of the rope that gives us hope to hold the load that he's called us to hold. Now I want to give you three. I've just kind of built sort of a framework for you. I want to give you three, write this down, three lessons or cycles that we all go through and need, that we need these things to develop these strands of faith to strengthen our journey. And I want to find them. I'm going to show them to you in Isaiah chapter 40. Number one, write this down. Wisdom is waiting. Wisdom is waiting. Now, waiting is like, to some people, like a swear word. Why would I want to wait? I want it now, right? Drive through now. Why would I want to wait? Wisdom is waiting. Wisdom is waiting. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Verse 30, even youths become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. Now listen to this. Verse 31, but those who trust, the word is actually wait. You'll see it a lot in other translations where it says wait, not trust. It's actually the same word. Those who trust, which is the same word as wait. To wait is to trust, and to trust is to wait. Those who wait on the Lord, those who trust in the Lord will find what? St. Augustine said, patience is the companion of wisdom. I love that. Patience is the companion of wisdom. To have wisdom is to have patience. And to have patience is an example of trust. It's not happening. It's taking so long. I'm discouraged. I don't know when the thing's going to happen. God gave me a word. It hasn't happened yet. This hasn't been healed. This hasn't been fixed. But I know it's the thing that God's spoken to me that's supposed to happen, but it hasn't happened. Wisdom says, wait. Wisdom says, trust. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, talk about how patience is a fruit of the what? The Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We need to crave patience. Man, I was on this for the last 30 days. I only ate meat and fruit, no vegetables. I have never done this before, but I decided to try something. only ate meat, lots of meat and fruit. No vegetables. Some of you are like, what? You're like, the food pyramid. That's a scam, just so you know. Where's your healthy Cheerios in the morning? You know, like we grew up. Remember growing up seeing like a healthy, balanced breakfast, Fruit Loops? Like, what was that? Sorry, if that's still your revelation. We're like, we're way in the new covenant now. You guys are still in the old covenant, if you still think that. So I like, man, I never craved fruit in my life like I craved for these last 30 days. I just craved fruit all the time. And I was thinking about this. I mean, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. We need to crave patience. Crave it, because it's something that holds us and keeps us grounded when things don't go our way. Some of you need patience in traffic. Those Quebec drivers just cutting you off. You know, you lose your salvation every time. You need patience. Before you get into the car, ask God for patience. Crave it. Forgive the Quebec drivers before they even cut you off. Just forgive them. Let them go. Let them go. But man, when I gave my life to Jesus, just about to turn 19, had a radical transformation. I went through a long season where I had to wait to really understand what God had called me to. Now, it was short in the sense of compared to other people, but to me, it was long because I was all in. For the all-in people that want everything now, you know, a short time to others is a long time to us. But man, I there was a season where I had to go through a process of waiting, and there was wisdom in that to develop me. I had to be discipled. That I would not be able to do what I've done and travel around the world if I didn't have the proper mentorship, discipleship, and people pouring into my life in wisdom in that season of waiting to develop perseverance, to develop the tools that I would need to handle crazy Christians. This is true. I was telling people, I mean, like, you know, I speak to thousands and thousands of people in the body of Christ every year around the world, and the people that will always hurt you the most are the Christians. It's not the people that don't believe, man. Sometimes I'd rather hang out with like witches, warlocks, and Satanists than religious people. Now, let me just define religious versus Christian, okay? The big difference. Let me define that. That's a little bit of an embellished statement just to give you a picture here, though. But there are religious Christians that all they want to do is call you out on everything. They live in their mom's basement behind an iMac, just heresy slaying every false prophet, every false teacher. That's all they do all day long, and that's their God-given call to expose the false teachers in the body of Christ. I've had my fair share of that. And I would say, I don't even know if you're a Christian, but whatever, it's beside the point. It's the people that you love the most that will often hurt you the most. And it's in those seasons you need to have the tools of perseverance. I mean, I was a traveling preacher with long dreadlocks, and I had people come to me in the meeting at the conference that I was speaking at and tell me that I had demons in my hair. Christian people! You can imagine that, eh? I was a relatively new believer, man, and I was really tempted a lot to give some fivefold ministry to people. I was tempted. I didn't do anything. I didn't punch anything. I was tempted. Like, how crazy are you? I'm like, my first thought was like, I have demons in my hair. You have demons all over your life. Anyways. Wisdom is waiting. Back to the scripture here. Let's veer back, steer back onto the lane, okay? Back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, where it says, wait on the Lord. But those who wait on the Lord, trust. This word, let's break it down together. Write this down. It means to be patient. It means to wait for. But it comes from, this is very important, very, very, very important. I'm tying this in right now, no pun intended. The root of that word comes from a word that means to bind together by twisting, like you would twist a rope. The word wait comes from a root that means to bind together by twisting. How does a rope formed? It twists. it intertwines, all the strands intertwine with each other and create a strength to handle the load, the bearing of the load. You hearing this? So trust, in other words, equals strength in any situation, in any relationship. A lack of trust will actually sort of become the breeding ground for weakness and cracks and division. But let me just continue on with this word and breaking it down for you. The literal meaning of the word, because the word is kava in the Hebrew, and it means to bind together like a cord. So picture a rope in your mind and all these little strands weaving and binding together as thin threads to form a rope. Once it's formed, it has great strength. This is what our faith journey is supposed to be and look like. Every time we step out in faith in any area, another strand gets woven in. And as we stay in that place of faith through hope, that strand gets strengthened and the rope gets stronger. So all the things that I didn't quit in the last 22 years, all the things that I didn't quit on and I had hope for, people said you should quit, get out of it, leave it, whatever. All things that I didn't quit on because faith brought me there, faith brought me into the thing that I wanted to quit on but I didn't quit on. Every time I didn't quit and stayed in the room because of hope, my strength, my faith, my rope got stronger and stronger and stronger so that I can bear the load I can bear today. But what happens is people leave their rope when they start to struggle with hope. And they question, did God even really bring me here? So they leave the room they were in that faith brought them to, and now they're like, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. I'm out. Peace. I'm out. And we literally sacrifice the greater strength of God that would have been in that rope to hold us and keep us for something easier, and that's quitting. How many people have you seen do this? Now we get to the famous wedding verse. Let's go here. Same author who wrote Proverbs chapter 3. Same author, okay, who we talked about, you know, talking about trusting in God and you know, acknowledging him in all of our ways, and we'll have straight paths. Same author, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. You all know this scripture. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, scripturally, in a wedding scenario or a situation, people will often use this in the context to, you know, the man and the wife come together and God is the third strand, and as you weave yourself together, you become strong. That's great, sure. But the premise is deeper than that. The premise is actually relationships, the power in numbers. That's the premise. It's the power, just the power in numbers. That's the premise of the scripture. A piece of string cannot lift very much weight because it does not have very many strands in it. But when people come together, this is the value of the assembly. People don't realize this. The assembly, worshiping together, one God under one roof. There's power in that. When they come together, there's strength in the rope in the house. There's strength. Being alone is very dangerous. Loneliness is very dangerous. Proverbs 18, chapter 18, verse 1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he rages against all wise judgment. Being isolated for too long is very dangerous. It's selfish. So number one, write this down. Wisdom is waiting. Number two, write this down. A new perspective is the prescription. A new perspective is the prescription. God is always prescribing to you a new perspective. But you got to go pick it up. It's like you get those texts from the pharmacy, your order is in or whatever. You get those ever? Anybody? No? Okay. But you go to the pharmacy and your prescription is in. You got to go and pick it up. God is issuing constantly a new perspective to us. As we trust in him in faith and we get into the room and hope keeps us there in that place when we're in darkness, when we're in a valley, when it's really hard and you want to give up, but you decide to persevere, in that place, guess what happens? God gives you and prescribes to you a new perspective. That I am good in the dark seasons of your life. I am faithful in the seasons of your life that you feel like I'm not faithful. I am going to give you what I promised you, even though you feel like I'm not going to give you what I promised you. Just stay in the room and wait. Wisdom is waiting. Waiting is wisdom. And in that place, you will get a new perspective. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait or trust in the Lord will find new strength. Listen to what it says here. They will soar on wings like eagles. You'll be taken high above your situation to see correctly. You'll be taken high above all the storms. Eagles have this way of pushing through adverse environments, adverse climates, or wind, you know, winds and storms. They have this ability to fly above and see, to see with a different perspective. So if you just trust me and you wait on me, I'll give you the strength that you need. And because you have the strength that you need, I'll take you higher and give you a new perspective. And when you have a new perspective and when you perceive right, you'll receive right. If you don't perceive someone or something right, you will not be able to receive the right thing from that thing or that someone. It's true, because your honor paves the way. Your honor paves the way. It really does. If you see a leader in your life as just simply like, a bro, a dude, just appear only, when he speaks, tries to speak into your life something even higher, you won't be able to receive it because you only perceive them from a wrong perspective, an unhealthy perspective. You get what I'm saying? When you perceive people based upon their mandate and calling, you'll receive right from them. Culture night. Not even a preload. I'm not talking about that tomorrow night. But a little culture night, like, snidbit in the sense, or tidbit. What's the word? Tidbit? It's just a weird word. Tidbit? Timbit? Where did we get that word from anyways? It comes out of my mouth. I don't know what it means. This little nugget. Nugget. How about a nugget? A little nugget. If you want to be mentored, listen, if you don't perceive people right, you will not receive them right. Your perception is everything. And so God wants to give you a new perspective so that you can receive from him in the season that you have the new perspective. And when you're high like that eagle soaring, come on, everyone, put your hands out. Come on, let's do something weird and awkward right now. Put your hands out. Man, when you're soaring, your whole everything is different. Your ability to see, everything is different. I know some of you didn't want to do that. You felt really awkward, but that's why you're in this church, to break through your awkwardness. Who cares what people think? Anyways. So those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a tougher season. And I've had some sort of visitation from God that has equipped me or given me a new strength that initiated a new perspective. And all of a sudden, I saw it differently. Because I chose to stay in the room. There were times, especially in a ministry context, because, you know, we've been doing this for over 20 years now. The church is 12 years old. The local church is over 12 years old next weekend. But as a ministry, there's times when I wanted to just quit. I wanted to, like, give up and just be like, this is not worth it. I'm just going to go into business. And there was times that I was tempted. The times where I was really hurt, you know, I maybe there was some sort of what felt like betrayal or just pain that was being caused by, usually it's people, right? Usually it's people. And or some situation that was going on, something that maybe wasn't happening, just hopeless, just wanted to give up, just discouraged. And the only thing that would ever keep me in the room is the reminder of the fact that God brought me to the room. And if he brought me to the room, he'll get me out of the room. But you have to have a mature perspective to have that. You have to be able to see beyond the storm that you're currently facing. And so you got to get a little higher in those seasons. I watch so many people quit, like I said over and over again in this message, prematurely, and they just robbed themselves of what could have been. It's really easy to quit. It's really hard to stay. Like, really hard to stay. Number three, write this down. Number three, last point, and then we're done. Number three, if waiting is wisdom, new perspective is the prescription. Number three, the ultimate result, burnout prevention is the promise. What is it? What does it look like to be prevented? Preventing yourself from burnout. Remember, burnout does not happen in your life because of what you do or are doing. Burnout happens because of what you stop doing. Because what you do that's valuable creates a healthy framework and network to handle what you're called to do that you blame as burning you out. You can't blame a job. You can't blame a person. You stop taking care of parts of your life. You stop taking care of what really matters in your life. That is the holder, the capacity holder for the thing that God's called you to hold in your life. So let's look at it this way. You start literally taking away the strands of the rope. You fall, the rope breaks in your life. Because you've dismantled the strands from the rope, the thing that held you up. It's not the thing you were moving towards that burnt you out. It's the thing that allowed you to move towards the thing that you were called to that burnt you out. Did you hear that? When we have healthy foundations in our life in the proper areas, it will allow us to have a grace to run, because we're called to run. We're called to run and we're called to walk. This is what the scripture says here. Listen to what it says here. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength and they'll soar high on wings like eagles. New perspective. Listen to this last portion. They will run and not grow weary. So how do you run? Like, running is hard, right? Anyone ever ran a marathon? No, nobody healthy in here? No. No runners in here? Come on. No runners in here? What's the deal? No one runs? Okay, anybody walk? Okay, here we go. We have walkers, yeah. Yeah. Does anybody even work out anything in here? Okay, here we go. Okay. If you're just soup cans, you know, I hear the people that are in their older age will lift the soup cans because it's a cheap weight, you know. Anyone do that? No, no one wants to admit that, eh? Okay. They will run and not grow weary. You will be able to handle things in your life that would cause other people to falter because you have the right perspective, because you trust in God, because your rope is strong. The strands have been developed. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and you will not faint. So you'll run and you'll walk. No matter what, you won't burn out. You won't be tired. No matter what you do, you'll run and you'll walk. Because there are seasons. And I let me just theologically bring it to perspective. I mean, Paul does say it's a run. But he also says we're called to walk by faith. There is a walk by faith. At the same time, it's like this paradoxical reality that we're called to walk by faith and yet run the race to the finish line. So we're running and we're walking. And in both situations, we're being active. And both situations would cause most people to eventually falter, give up, need a break, whatever. But if you have a perspective because you're trusting in God and you're developed, Your strands are developed, your rope is strong, so your hope is strong, you will run and not grow weary, and you will not walk and you will not faint. You will make it. That is the word. You will make it. And I just believe this morning there is a make it impartation going to happen for us in this house. Because some of you, you're barely making it. I want you to stand up. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I see it like there's a wisdom in here, first of all, that I believe God wants to give us. Paul said in Ephesians, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be given to you so you have a fuller understanding of all that you have in Christ, the inheritance, the knowledge of who he is. Well, there's a wisdom in here to give you an understanding of the race you're called to run, the walk you're called to walk, there truly is. There's a wisdom in here this morning. Some of you, you can feel like things coming alive on the inside of you. Some of you feel convicted. Some of you feel like you've been struck by something in the spirit this morning. Something is coming alive in you. Maybe you've done the religious thing. You've done the church thing. You've been around church, but you've been in and out of church. You've been in and out of community. This is the season to ground yourself. To ground yourself. Be a part of the garden. Don't be a potted plant that just gets moved around, that has limitations in its ability to grow, because a pot, you can't grow very large. You can't grow very deep in a pot, but you can in a garden. There's limitless possibilities of where you can go in depth in a garden, in a soil bed. Maybe you're in this season where you just need to ground yourself because it's been all over the map for you. This is a season of balance, a season of reordering, realignment for you. Maybe you've been tired. Maybe you've just been like, I don't know what it is. I want you to close your eyes just for a few seconds. Just close your eyes. I know you. Some of you feel already where the Holy Spirit, where God has been speaking to you this morning, how this message has been speaking to you. I don't care what age you're at, what stage you're at. Everybody in this room, I believe that there is an impartation of strength this morning for us. There is a reminder or a renewing of hope for us this morning. Some of you are in a situation where you're like, I don't know if I want to stay in the situation anymore, but you know God called you to that situation, and now you need perseverance. You need patience in that situation. Well, I believe He's giving that to you today. And I believe if you would just chase patience like you chase other things in life, like you chase bad things and you chase good things, chase patience. I believe it will help you in this season to stand strong when you want to give up. Some of you just need a little bit of hope today because you feel like the thing that you keep believing for hasn't happened and there's no sign of it going to happen. And you're like, God, am I even in the right space? Maybe I'm like thinking wrong. I'm believing wrong. I don't know what it is for you. But just let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Maybe you're in this room and you've never said yes to Jesus. Jesus died on a cross over 2,000 years ago, took the punishment of all of our junk, all of our garbage in His body. And then He didn't just die and do all of that. He then went to a grave and rose again on the third day. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, you will be saved. It's simply the starting point, the simply saying, hey, God, I'm inviting you in to my life to be the centerpiece of my life. I've been the centerpiece of my life. I've been the God of my life. I'm inviting you as the God into my life in this season of my life. I want you to take the wheel. I want you to be the driver. I want you to be the director. And so today I'm letting you in. I'm calling you Lord today. He forgave you of all the crap that He knew you would do before you even did anything. He forgave you over 2,000 years ago, and all you have to do is receive it. But to receive it, you have to perceive that what He did was in fact because He loved you unconditionally. So if you're in this room right now and you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity. It's simple. Just say yes. I receive your forgiveness right now. I receive your forgiveness into my life. I receive your forgiveness, and I want a relationship with you from this day forward. If that's you, it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life.